This presentation is brought to you by BioWaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Right, so this is Gemara Beitza, Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis at the bottom. The Gemara gives us three different cases that are connected. And it starts off with a principle. Let's go back a second to the Braisa. So the Braisa is talking about a person who says, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, this is higher up on the page, this is about 10 lines from the top. May vi odom todosoi b'chag hasukos. A person may bring a korban todo on chag hasukos. So you bring a korban todo as voluntary, it's a thanksgiving offering, it's a shlomim. Now on Yom Tov, we're supposed to bring korbanos, we're supposed to bring shlomim. Because we say, ein simcho ela b'boso, the most joyous celebration is to participate in the meat of the korban. And if a person brings a korban toido on Sukkos, yetsabei dechavaso mishum simcha, it's considered simcha. He's doing a mitzvah. In addition to bringing the korban toido, he's also doing a mitzvah of celebrating and having simcha on Yom Tov. However, ve'ein yetsabei mishum chagigo. That there is an obligation on Yom Tov which he is not mekayim with that korban. The obligation is you're supposed to bring a special shlomim, a special offering, a special korban, called a korban chagigo. So he can't, by his korban toido, also be mekayim his chiv to have a korban chagigo. Why, explains Rashi? The dover shebechoivahu, because this is something which is obligated. In other words, if he said, I'm going to bring a toida, so now I have to bring a toida because I've undertaken to do so. And to acquit your obligations to Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, you've got to bring chulin, you've got to bring a korban, a regular korban. It's a little bit like in tzedakah. Let us say that you've set aside some money for ma'aser. So you've put aside $1,000 or rand or whatever for ma'aser. And then you say, you're saying yizkor. And you say, I'm going to give $100 for yizkor. Can you take the $100 from the $1,000 that you already set aside? You've made a new undertaking. That must come from new money. So you're not saying I'm going to allocate from that. You're giving new money. So in a sense, it's the same with a korban. If you say, I'm going to bring a korban toido, now you have to bring a korban toido. So now you want to get cheap, and you want to say, well, I've also got to bring a korban chagigo, so I'll bring the korban chagigo as my toido. That you can't do. If you don't have to bring a korban, and you bring your korban chagigo, that's a chagigo. But if you have to bring a korban, then you want to bring that korban from something which is chulin, something which does not belong to Hekdash, it does not belong to the Beis HaMikdash. That's the principle. So the Gemara says at the bottom, pshita dover shebechoivahu, v'chol dover shebechoivah, eino bo elo min achulin. It's obvious, but we don't need a braisa to tell us this. Isn't this clear that you may not bring an obligation from anything other than chulin? Answer the Gemara, litzuch, the af al gav the polish. This is talking about even in such a case where at the time of declaring the korban toido, you said you're going to bring it from the korban chagigah. So you didn't first create a chiyuv korban toido and then say, oh, I've got to bring a korban. I said yesterday I would bring a korban. Well, I've also got to bring a chagigah, so let's double up and bring the chagigah as the toido. No, what happens if the person says at the same time, I'm going to bring a korban toido from the chagigah which I have to bring? Even that's no good. That's what the Braisa is coming to tell us. Not that if you're obligated to bring a korban toido, you may not use the chagigah. That you may not obligate yourself to bring a toido from the chagigah. You can't do that either, is what the Gemara wants to say. As Rabbi Shimon and Lachish asked Rabbi Yochanan. So there are two cases here, and then we're going to have a third case as well. Three cases are brought. First case. Ha'imer harei alai toido. Ve'etzei bo yedei chagigah. A person says in one phrase, I'm taking upon myself to bring a korban teda, and with that I will be mekayim the korban chagig. So a person would bring in those days a korban teda for cases like where we bench going. So he's just come back from overseas. He says, I'll bring a korban teda, but I'll bring a korban chagig as well. I'll bring my korban chagig as a teda, he says. Or, hareini nozir, v'agaleach imoz ma'aseh sheni. I'm taking upon myself to be a nozir, and when I shave my hair after 30 days, and I have to bring korbonus, I'll pay for those korbonus from my sasheni. My sasheni is money that he has to spend in Yerushalayim, in any event. So he's got this money or this produce that he's got to eat in Yerushalayim or spend in Yerushalayim, so he doubles up. And he says, I'm going to become a Nazir. That means I'm going to have to bring a korban. The korban I'll bring with the Ma'aseh Sheni money, so I won't have to do it twice. Otherwise, I'm going to eat the Ma'aseh Sheni money in Yerushalayim. And I'm then going to go and buy a korban. That's doubling up, so I'll do it all in one. Mahu, what is the din? Amale, Rabbi Yochanan answered, Nodur ve'ino yotze. His neder for the korban toida applies, it's valid. Ve'ino yotze, but he's not yotze chagiga. So the first part of his statement took effect, and the second part of his statement did not take effect. Nozir ve'ino megaleach. He is a nozir, but he cannot use ma'aseh sheni money to pay for his korbanos. So the first half of the statement works, the second half doesn't. We don't cancel the whole statement, nor do we accept the condition. We accept the unconditional first phrase, and we delete the condition. Quite an interesting concept, that. Imagine it's such a thing. We did that in law. A person makes a conditional undertaking, we say, well, that's fine. The undertaking, we'll accept, and the condition we'll take up. It's kind of like, isn't it? It's strange. It's just a strange thing. Explains Rashi. So I think when I was explaining the Dovah Shebechovohu, I was explaining that incorrectly. That you can't bring the Korban Chagiga from the Toda. It's the other way around. It's not that you can't bring the Toda from the Chagiga. The obligation is he's obligated by the Torah to bring a Korban Chagiga. Now to use that as his voluntary one as well, he can't do, not the other way around. Sorry? Well, who are you reading? Rashi?
Yeah.
Which Rashi? Down at the bottom. We'll come there. Let's go through the Rashis. The Af Al Gav the Parish is Rashi at the bottom of the previous omelet. The Cheshenodar Hatoido Pirish Al Menat Sheyotzeibo Yidei Chagigosu. He made a condition. I'm declaring a Toido on condition I may use the Chagiga. So we should say either the condition works and you can use the Chagiga, or the condition doesn't work, and what would be the case then? You don't have to bring a Toido. It should be. It's a strange situation. This is Rashi at the top of the next place. The page by Agaleach Mimos Ma'ashesheni Korbonus Shegozo Alav Akosus Beyom Tiglachto, the Korbonus which the Torah decrees upon him on the day of his shaving. Notice the wording in Rashi. That's going to be significant. The Korbonus which the Torah decrees on him on the day of his shaving, Ekne Mimos Ma'ashesheni, I will buy from the money of Ma'ashesheni. Nodur al hatoido, says Rashi. The neder on the korban toido is chal, that applies. We apply the neder, he has to bring a toido. Ve'eno yitzo bo yidei chagiga, but the chagiga doesn't work, says Rabbi Yechon. Nozir ve'eno megaleach mi mos maise. He may not use the mos maise to pay for his korbonus at the time of the giluach, of the haircutting. Elo mina chulin. He has to bring from chulin, from regular source. The Kivan, here Rashi gives the reason. The Kivan, the Omar, Hare, Olai, because the moment he said, I'm going to bring a Korban, Nitchayev. At that point, he's chayav. So as the words come out of his mouth, he says, Harei alaikum, so I'm going to bring a toido, and he's chayav. The amiro legavoyo ki mesiro lehedyut. Because we have a principle that once you say something verbally, you give something to the Beis HaMikdash verbally, it's kimasir, it's as if there's a kinyan. The verbal obligation in kodshim is as decisive and complete as a kinyan obligation in the secular world. The chi hoda omar al manas lav miltihi. And if, it's a good question. And if, he says, and on condition, by that time it's too late. He's already said, I've given it. So Stan asks, what happens if he turns it around? Tosfos will ask that question. We'll see in a little while. What happens if he turns it around? But what we're seeing in Rashi is that the principle here is that Amiro legavoya kimsiro lehedyot, and therefore he is obligated the moment the words come out of his mouth. Now, it's not the pure case of Amiro legavoya. The pure case of Amiro legavoya is when I give an object, or an animal or whatever. An animal might be overseas. So that's a mission in Kiddushin, where the animal might be somewhere else. I've got an animal in Los Angeles, and I give it to the Beis HaMikdash here in Johannesburg. So where's the kinyan? It doesn't need a kinyan. From that moment, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. That's not quite the same here, because he's not giving any particular animal. He says, Harei Olai. I undertake. So it's not quite the same case. There's no kinyan. But what it does mean is that obligates him. Even though he didn't sign a document and he didn't make a kinyan to demonstrate his seriousness, it was only verbal, he has to fulfill those words. There's an obligation upon him to fulfill those words. It's like a neder, it's like an oath, like a shvur. He undertakes to do it, he's got to do it. And therefore, the moment he says those words, it follows the principles of the Dorim and Shvur. And the Dorim and Shvur are formulas. They're not just expressions of intent. It's not communication. So what we'll learn in this Gemara are different meanings to speech. So speech is not only a communication. If it's a communication, we can interpret it, we can withdraw it, we can change it. I can say something to you. I can say whatever it is. I can say that we'll go out to dinner tomorrow night. And I can phone you an hour later and say, you know, I made a mistake. Didn't realize I had an arrangement tomorrow night. Can we do it the following night? No big deal. You can do that if the saying is not a formula, but I can't make a neder. So I make a neder that we're going out or there is tomorrow night, a shvur, and then phone and say, oh, you know what, we'll change it. I can't do that. That's what a shvur is. It's binding. So there are times where wording is binding, but that wording is a formula, and we'll try and understand more of what it does. So the Amiro legavoa, when you declare intent to gavoa, to the Beis HaMikdash, it's like a kinyan, it can't be taken away. So the moment the words are out of his mouth, it's done. Can't be taken away.
Is it gavoa today?
Sorry?
We have gavoa in today's time?
Would we have what in today's time? Gavoa, no, we don't have gavoa, but we have Nadorim. But we have Nadorim where it applies.
To make a
donation to the Beis HaMikdash? No. We don't have that. No, but that's not the same. That's not the legavoa. Because that's an undertaking, and one has to do it. But it's not. If one says be neder, it's not a neder. Now the Gemara comes into the third case. So we've had two case studies. The one is the toido, and he wants to be near to the chagigo. So he wants to use his chagigo as the toido, and the other one is he wants to buy his korban zirus with his most master sheni. Third case is the following. Ahu Gavra Doma Luhu, there was a man on his deathbed who said to the people about him, Hovu le arbo mea zuzi, go and give Yankel 400 zuz, Litleni, Linsi Berossi, and let him marry my daughter. Omar Rav Papa says, then the man dies. So now what happens? The guy says, I don't want to marry the daughter, but I wouldn't mind the 400 zuz. Says Rav Papa, Arba Meya Shakil, you're entitled to the 400 zuz. Uvrasa, Iboy Nosiv, Iboy Lo Nosiv. And the daughter, if you want to marry her, you may marry her. And if you don't want to marry her, you don't have to marry her. The acceptance of the 400 zuz doesn't obligate you. Taima, the Omer, Havule, the Linsid. The reason is because he first said, give the money, and then he said, and let him marry. Aval Yomer, Linsid, the Havule, had he said it the other way around? Let this man marry my daughter. Then, inosiv shokil, v'ilo inosiv lo shokil. Then it would have been conditional, and he would have got the 400 zuz only if he married the daughter, but not otherwise. That's the third case study. And what's the reason? All that we have from Rashi is how a gabra mitzvah machmas nisohoyo. He was a person making an instruction because of impending death, so he has almost the same din as a machmas shivmera. Machmas shivmera is a person is lying on his deathbed and gives away all of his property. That's a machmas shivmera, and it applies. It doesn't have to be kinyonim and so on. This is not quite so because he doesn't give all of his property; he only gives some of it. But it's nevertheless, it's called a machmas niso, and we have a principle there: the divrei matnas shivmero kiksuvim umusurin dami. The words of a dying person are as if they are written and handed over. And the reason we do that is that he shouldn't have to worry about things. He's lying there, and he didn't make a will, and now he's worried, and what will be, and receive a revenue, and this and that. So he just gives away. He gives an oral will. So we say, don't worry. You don't have to sign anything, you don't have to do anything, we were witnesses to it, that is the will. That's Matna Shivmara. So do you notice a parallelism between the Matna Shivmara and the Amiru Legavoya? These are two cases where words are binding. Where words are completely binding. Now, words are always binding in a sense, but still, words are, at the end of the day are an expression of intent. We take a very bad view of a person who expresses his intent and backs out. But there's nothing you can do about it in the court of law, unless there was a kinyan. But in these cases, the words alone are final. Amiru legavora and matnas shivmara. Those are two cases where in transactions. So there are other cases where words are final, like in Nedarim, in Neder. But in these areas, in giving a gift to the Beis HaMikdash, or in giving a dying person giving away his money, the words are final, even though it's a transaction. Those are the three case studies that we've got. Now let's play around a little bit with the Tosfos says, Stan, on Nozir ve'enu megaleach v'davke dekor marachitz, because he put it in that order. Aval imom ha'ipcha al menat she'etze mishum chagiga harei alai toido. If you would say it the other way around, on condition that I may use the chagiga, this is a toido. No, that wouldn't apply. He would be okay, that the condition would work. So Tosfos assumes the reason given at the end applies to all three case studies, and the reason is the order, that these are formalistic statements when we come to issues around the giving of money to Gavoya, or of the case of a Matnash Chizmara, the words are final in the transaction. And we're going to have a little bit of a problem with Nozir. Before we even get onto a problem with Nozir, the Trumas Hadeshin asks an interesting question. He says, what happens if the man dying gives away his property, even all of it? So it's a proper Matna Shchivmera, and he doesn't die. He lingers on for another little while, and the next day he decides he's changing his mind. And so he withdraws and he changes. Is he allowed to do that? He says, I withdraw what I said yesterday. Yes, he is. Ask the Trumas Hadeshin, if he's allowed to withdraw entirely, surely he's allowed to modify? So I understand that it's cut off. He says, 400 zuz to this man. I understand. That's a statement. Now he says another statement. He's saying, and he must marry my daughter. So really, why don't we just treat it as if he's withdrawn his earlier unconditional statement and replaced it with a conditional statement? Because he's entitled to withdraw. That's the Trumas Hadeshin's question. I understand with the other two. The other two is that you're not allowed to withdraw. Amir Lagavoya, you've said something to the Beis HaMikdash, there's no case where you're allowed to withdraw. But in the case of Shchivmara, it would appear that you are allowed to withdraw. If you're allowed to withdraw, surely you're allowed to modify, is what he asks. Now, what we see is, by the way, there's a case in Bovakama, Daf Ayin Gimel in Bovakama with those. It appears from there that the prevailing view is that you can withdraw even when you give something to Gavoya, you can modify, if you do it Tov Kedei Dibur. Tov Kedei Dibur is within the amount of time it takes to say Shalom Aleichem Levi V'Rabbi, so it's about 3 or 4 seconds. If there's not more than a 3 or 4 second gap between your statement and the withdrawal, or the change in the statement, that you have that kind of leniency time to be able to change your statement, even with Gavur, even when it comes. So it applies to davening sometimes. You say the wrong bracha. If you fix it with Intochid Adibu, we delete the first one and we replace it with the corrected one. So here too, there are many cases where we can repeat and we can correct with Intochid Adibu. And the assumption is that in Bodhakana, the assumption is that even with Kodshim, a person can say Harei Alai Olam and he'll change it to something else, to a Shlomim. And as long as it's Intochid Adibu, it works. So in a sense, there does seem to be even, not only can a shechiv mera, I'm trying to work with the Trumas Adeshin's question, not only can a dying person withdraw, but there are times, there are views that even for coaching you can withdraw, you can change. So why is it different here?
Then the condition that you put at the end should still be held. Because since you had an opportunity to withdraw the first part of your statement, get a good demo,
That's the question. So either it shouldn't work at all, either it shouldn't work at all, or the condition should be tough. So we've got to say the reason is really the first part does work. It's like a murder, it's followed the formula, the first part works. This, that it doesn't work, that in Kodshim you can change Toch Kedei Dibur, is possibly only when at the time of saying it, you're arguing, when I said it, I didn't mean it, I was confused. And I quickly caught myself and said, don't mean it. That's when it works. The Nachman Ephraim explains that. But if your intention was for it to stand, just you modify it afterwards, that's not okay. So was his intention for it to stand or not? When he said, Arei Alai Todah, did he want to bring a Korban Todah or didn't he? He did. When he said, and did he change his mind about bringing a Todah at any point? No. When he said, Arei Alai Nozi, did he intend to become a Nozi? Did he change his mind about it? No. When he said he has 400 zoos, did he intend to give 400 zoos? He did. Did he change his mind about it? No, he didn't. So in these cases, you can't play around with it. Obviously. When can you withdraw if your second statement is made because you were confused at the time of the first statement? But if you were clear at the time of the first statement, you can't change its meaning with a second statement. That's how it would come out. So we could use that for the Truma Sedation as well. It's true that a Shiv Marat can change his mind. Because we say the Shiv Mara is dying, and he's confused, changed his mind. When he made the thing, he thought he was dying. Now he realized he isn't dying, he's confused. And we know that is the case because the whole reason for giving that phrase so much power is because we don't want to confuse him. We don't want to cause him extra stress, and we know that he's stressed. So when he comes back afterwards and he wants to withdraw it altogether, that's fine. But if a second later he adds a condition, that's not because he's confused and he wants to withdraw it. That's because he's adding a condition and that you're not able to do is how we would have to learn it. The Ramban and the Rashbo learn differently. They say that there's a different reason why this doesn't work. It's not because you cut off after the first phrase and the second phrase is too late. It's because the formula is wrong. If you're talking about neder and you're talking about tsunoim, there are certain cases where the wording has to be precise. And neder is one case, and the tznai is another case. Where do we know from that tznai has to be precise? Where do we learn that from? From the Bnei Gad and the Bnei Reuven, isn't that so? When they came and Moshe came to Israel, Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven said, we want to keep the land on this side of the Yarden. Moshe got angry with them, and they made them. Said, no, we're not suggesting we don't come and fight. We'll come with you and fight. If everything's settled and fine and we win all the wars, then we'll do this. And if we don't, then we don't expect to be given this. So there was a very clear formula which then became the formula for Tanoim. When you make a Tanai, because a Tanai is so open to interpretation and it leaves things vague, it's very important that a Tanai follows specific criteria. It's got to be a double Tanai, if this, then that, if not, then that. And one of the criteria of a Tanai is that the Tanai comes first, the condition comes first. Well, how did the Bnei Gad say it? If we go over and we're successful in the war, then we will keep this land. They didn't say we will keep this land on condition. And it's quite interesting that. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it's important for the formula to put the condition before the fact? rather than to create the fact and make it conditional in the second phrase. There's probably no other legal system that requires that. What difference does it make which you put full? As long as it's all in one statement, very clearly stated, what difference does it make in what order you say? What's on top of the mind, something else, I think there's something else in it. I think it's what does it communicate to the listener? So I come along and I say, you know what, Mervyn, I have R1 million for you. On condition that there is a moment when Mervyn's heart starts pumping a little harder. Wow. Just a second, a fraction of a second. But that fraction of a second is enough for me to say, that's it. I've made a commitment. In certain cases, not in interpersonal dealings, but certainly in cases of Gavoa and Neder and Nozir and Shiva, these cases, there are certain cases where the wording is so finely tuned and sensitive that the moment it's stated, the person hears it, the other side says it, Gavoa hears it, that's it. It's cemented at that particular time. And so that's what the Rabban says. There's a structure, there's a condition. The Rabban is not all that different from Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi and Tosfos, the only difference with Rashi and Tosfos will be, Rashi and Tosfos say, if they make it clearly conditional, and Rashi and Tosfos says the condition has to come first. So for example, according to Rashi and Tosfos, if the condition was first but it wasn't a double condition, it would still be okay. So the problem with Rashi and Tosfos is not the formula, it's the order. According to the Ramban, it's the formula of which order is one component, but not the only component. I wanted to spend a little bit of time on Nozir, and then we'll wrap it up. Nozir is very interesting, and here's where it kind of surfaces. The Rambam paskins both halachas. So the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Nozir, in Hilchos Nezirus, in the 8th parak of Hilchos Nezirus, he says, Hareini Nozir al menas she'agaleach mimoz ma'as hasheni. He uses the word al menas. Al menas means on condition that. I am a Nozir on condition that I may shave, bringing korbonos from ma'as hasheni. Hareizi a Nozir ve'eno mevi korbonos of ma'as hasheni ela menachudim. The Rambam paskins, he is a Nozir, but he can't use ma'as hasheni for the money. Same as the Gemara says. He says the same by Torah. In Hilchos Chagiga, at the end of the fourth parak, of the second parak, Hayomer harei alai Torah she'etzei bo yedei chovosi l'shem Chagiga. I'm bringing a Torah so that I can be yotzei my obligation to bring a Chagiga, is what he says. Chayiv lavi Torah ve'ena yotzei bo yedei Chagiga. He's got to bring his Torah and it's not counted as Chagiga, says the Rambam. On that says the Ravid, he says it depends what the Girsa is. In our Gemara, what is the Girsa? What is the version? What is the wording in our Gemara? Person says, Ha'omer harei alai Toido ve'etzeba. What does that mean? I'm going to bring a Toido ve'etzeba yedei chavosi. It means what? So to be exactly precise, what is the translation? Hare alai toido the etzebo yedei chagiga. What is it? And I will be relieved of my obligation for a chagiga. What does the Rambam say? Hare alai chayvo she etzebo yedei chavosi. Do you notice the difference? A shin instead of a vav. She etze means so that I will be, on condition that I will be. The etze is two words, two things. Number one is I'm in a toido. And I'll be yotzei my chagiga. Huh? We say no. You'll bring a toida, and you're not yotzei your chagiga. Says the Ravid, that's fine. If he says the eitzei, we would say no. That won't work. But if he really said she eitzei or al menas she eitzei, then it would work in the case of Nozir. So listen carefully. What is the Ravid then saying? The Rambam is right because of his girsa, but his girsa is different from ours. So, our Gemara is right. Sorry, not the Rambam is right because of his Girsa. Our Gemara is right. The Rambam would be right if he had our Girsa. But with his Girsa, he's wrong. Our Girsa is, I'm a Nozir, and I want to use my Sashani money. Is that how we've got it? sorry, the case of Toda. I'm bringing a Korban Toda, and I want to be Yotze Chagiga. And we say, no. No ands here. You can't do them both. If you would have said, I'm bringing a Korban Toda so that I can be Yotze my Korban Chagiga as well, says the Ravid, then it would be okay. It's because of the wording. It's because of that vov. Asks the Lechem Mishnah the obvious kasha. What is the Lechem Mishnah? Can you work out what the Lechem Mishnah's question would be? On the Rambam. Where did okay, but what is his kasha on the Ravid? You know, he's got a different gisa. What do you think the Lechem Mishnah asks on the Ravid? So what does the Ravid say? If you say, here's a Korban Toida on condition that it will also work for my Korban Chagiga, you've got it. No problem. What does the Ravid say if you say that with Nozir? I'm a Nozir on condition that I don't have to bring my Korban, I can bring my Korbanos from my Sisheni. What would the Ravid hold? How would we know what the Ravid holds? What would we do to find out what the Ravid holds? We know what the Ravid holds about Toda, about Korban Toda. What would the Ravid hold about the case of the Nozir? So we have to look in the Rambam and see what the Ravid says. Isn't that so? So you look in Hilchos Nezirus, in Perek Ches, where the Rambam says, I'm bringing a Korban, I'm becoming a Nozir, on condition that I will be able to bring my Nozirus from my Sosheni. What should the Ravid, and the Rambam says, doesn't work. You've got to be a Nozir, and you pay for your own Korban. What should the Ravid say? What should the Ravid say? Should the Ravid agree or disagree? Let's go again. What does the Ravid hold in Al Gemara? Al Gemara is Al Gemara. The Rambam says, I'm bringing a Korban Toda on condition that I can bring a Chagiga. The second part doesn't apply, says the Rambam. What does the Ravid say to that? Right or wrong? I'll read you what the Ravid says. About Omar Sheitzibo, Yochel Lahatznus, Dadaisa Dahachinoda. If you say on condition that, that's fine. You've made it conditional. What's wrong with the condition? So you'll say, hey, Ravid, what about Al Gemara? He says, Al Gemara says the. If it's the, that's not a condition. You're trying to get the best of both worlds. You're trying to do two things that you can't do. You say you're bringing a Toda and you want to be Yotze to the Chagiga. No. But if you're making the one conditional on the other, you're merging the two into one. That's okay. You can do that. So the Ravid holds conditions work with Nozir. Sorry, with Chagiga and Toda. Right? When the Rambam says conditions don't work for Nozir, what should the Ravid say? Yes, they do. Is what he should say. But he doesn't. He's silent. Which means he agrees with the Rambam. So it comes out the Ravid holds these two cases are different. The reason it doesn't work in the first case is because of the word letter Vov. The reason it doesn't work in the second case is something else. There's no Vov in the second case. What does he say? There's also a Vov. So, understand. So, in both cases, it won't work because of the letter Vov. So, according to the Ravid, these are not conditional. Condition doesn't come into it. This is not conditional. This is a person saying, here's your birthday present, and I'm here to your anniversary present too. No, you're not. If a person says, you know what, I'm spending a lot of money on your birthday present on condition that you'll consider it also as your anniversary present. Take it or leave it. If you take it, it means you accept the condition. So the Ravid, that's fine. You can make conditions. The problem in Al Gemara is it's not a condition. It's an and. That you can't do. Fine. So let's examine what happens when they are conditions. So the Rambam puts them in clear conditional form. I want this so that I can do that. What should the Ravid say then? Should work or shouldn't work? What should the Ravid say? It should work. And he says that by Toido, but he doesn't say it by Nozir. So by Nozir, the Ravid holds that even an explicit condition doesn't work. Why the difference? Why the difference? So, the difference is really interesting. There is a view of the Maharit. The Maharit says sometimes when you say something, we'll talk about shvuas and the Doran. There's a difference between a shvuah and a neder. Look how much we learn just from one hour. Come on, look where we go flying all over the place. Isn't it amazing? Shavuos, Nedarim, Hekdesh, and Tanoim, and Nashchiv Maran. Look at the many things one can learn in 1 hour. It's unbelievable. And they're all linked. When you make a neder is focused on an object. So a person says, this object is forbidden to me. So what he's done is he's affected the object. The object is now different. It has a dimension of Isur attached to it. So if you looked at it through a spiritual microscope, it would look different from what it looked before. And so if you irradiate some food with radiation, and you look at it with your ordinary eyes, you don't see the difference. But if you look at it under an electron microscope, you will see the difference. So when you make a neder, you are irradiating an object with Isur. It becomes poison. It becomes spiritually poison. It's possible. Can't have it. It's treif. If a person says, I won't have. So a person says, cigarettes are a neder for me. He's just made cigarettes treif for himself, if they weren't before. If he says, I undertake not to smoke anymore, what's he done? He's irradiated himself, kind of. He's created an obligation on himself. Cigarettes, you can put the cigarettes under the microscope, spiritual microscope, halakhic microscope, they won't look any different. The reason he can't smoke is not because the cigarettes have become poisonous, but because he's undertaken an obligation. So if you put him under a spiritual spectroscope, you'll see an additional obligation sitting on his shoulders. Everybody else you see has got Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha and all those things you'll see sitting on their shoulders. With him you'll notice an extra one. Right? There's like a tumor, there's like an extra. There's something there that isn't with everybody else. What's this? It's a shvua. He took upon himself a shvua. So one is called an isur gavra, and one is called an isur chetzer. A shvua is an isur that rests on the subject, and neder is an isur that rests on the object. What is nazirus? Subject or object? If a man says, I want to become a nazir, now you can't have wine. If you put the wine under a spiritual microscope, will you notice the difference? Yeah. If you put the nozzle under a spiritual microscope, will you notice the difference? Yeah. So the Maharit says neither of them. He says it's not a gavra and it's not a cheft. It's a new concept. What is the concept? This is a third concept. The third concept is he recategorizes himself halakhically. So imagine if you could say, for example, almost like a person becomes a convert. So let's say a man and a woman could change, legitimately. So a man waves a magic wand and becomes a woman. So now how does he know what halakhas apply to him? Does he have to go to all the halakhas? He does. He looks at the halakhas for a woman. All the halakhas for a woman apply to him. The woman became a man. So all the halakhas that apply to a man now apply to her. She didn't do anything with respect to those laws. She took on a new halakhic status, and with the status came certain laws. A woman gets married. Or a man gets married. But say a woman gets married. She hasn't changed her being. She's taken on a certain status. The consequence of that status is certain laws. If she moves out of that status, those laws go off again. She's just moved into a halakhic category. So when a person says, I'm going to become a nozir, he moves himself into a halakhic category called nozir. Now, what creates the prohibition of wine? The nazirus creates it. It's not he didn't create it. All he did was he shifted his position. He moved. He changed places, that's all. Then everything else fell into place. It's not the same as a neder. Sorry? So he wouldn't come up at all under the microscope. He's the same guy, he's just different halakhic category, the wine's the same, nothing's changed. Just the category of law that apply to him has changed. So his halakhic definition has changed. But that's it. In that case, what happens, so let's look at now, let's try and understand the Ravid. So that when he comes along and he says, in the case of Toida, he says, I undertake to bring a Korban Toida on condition I can use my Chagiga. So who creates the obligation of the Toida? Who's the creator of that obligation? He is. The Torah didn't obligate him to bring a Toida, it's voluntary. So the author, the creator of the Korban Toida is the man. A creator can create with his own conditions. That's the privilege of creation. God created the world, he put some conditions to it. You want to create something, you can put some conditions to it. You want to build a building and donate it to some cause, you can attach some conditions to it. You want your name on the outside. The creator can make conditions. Who created the obligation to bring a korban at the end of a nezirus? Hashem did. The Torah did, not him. He just put himself into the nezirus category. The obligation to bring is then automatic once you're a nozir. Once you're a nozir, then it becomes. So now, what is the sequence of events? He first made himself a nozir. Now that he's a nozir, he's obligated. Now you can't have any. Now you can't come with conditions. Now you're obligated. That's why the Ravid makes that distinction. A very, very beautiful distinction. The Bukhonin explains the Ravid that way. The Maharit. We use the Maharit principle also. The what? Well, if there's a Vav, then it doesn't work because there's a Vav. What happens if there isn't a Vav? If there's a Shin, then, says the Ravid, it depends. In the case of Toida, you delete the condition. In the case of Toida, you accept the condition. In the case of Nozir, even though that was an almanas, even though you used a conditional phrase, it doesn't matter, the condition will never work. That's correct, the condition doesn't work. That's why the Ravid holds, and argues with Rambam, and says, if conditional language is used as you use it, Rambam, then you can't mess with the korban. What about the Rambam himself? Even let's start with the Rambam himself. The Rambam says you can make condition and the condition works. So what does the Rambam hold?
He's breaking his condition before he changes the
other. So the Rambam holds not like the Maharit, that the Nazirus is changing status. Nazirus is creating certain, he creates the obligations, the Rambam would hold. So it's a different view as to what you're doing when you become a Nozir. The Maharit holds, and the Ravid goes with that route, that when you become a Nozir, you're changing your halakha category. The consequence of that are a lot of laws. All you've done is change your category. The Rambam must hold, no, you have undertaken a set of laws called Nazirus. And you created those laws. You created those obligations. You didn't have to. You don't have to bring a korban Nazirus. It's true, you can't pick and choose. You've got to take on the whole package. But in taking on the whole package, you can make conditions. If the condition is there, I'm a nozir. You might try, but the Quran of the Rambam comes up, man, that the condition doesn't work. Why does the condition not work on the chayva? So in the case, again, according to the Rambam, in the case of Nazirus, the Rambam holds the condition does not work. In neither of them does the condition work. Why would he hold that? Is that right? The Rambam holds that al-manas, in case of condition, no, so it would be fine. The Rambam then holds, let's get it clear again, the Rambam holds that if you use conditional language, the condition doesn't apply. The Ravid says, in the case of Nazirus, it doesn't apply. In the case of Toido, it does. So we don't know how the Rambam holds on Nazirus. He might hold the same as the Ravid, or he might not. But one thing we do know is that he holds on Korban Toido. He holds that even though you are the creator of the obligation, you created it in the first phrase, and you can't fix it on the second phrase, like Rashi and Tosfos. We can go a step further in Rashi. Rashi says that the problem with the Nozir is that it's Amira LeGavoya. Doesn't he say that? What's the problem with the Nozir? Right through the case, we said this is he's giving something to Gavoya. So we've got to say, what happens? Is the korban is an amira legavoya? When a person becomes a nozir, is that called amira legavoya? What is amira legavoya? Amira legavoya is when you give something to the Beis HaMikdash. If you take upon yourself to be a nozir, that's not amira legavoya. So what is the amira legavoya that Rashi must hold? Rashi says the reason he can't retract from the korban and say it's only if I can use my Shasheni money is because Amir Lagava. Once you've given something to Hashem, you can't withdraw it. But he said I'm a nozir. If we use the Maharit, he just said I'm a nozir. That's not Amir Lagava. Why can't he then add a condition? So we would have to say probably that Rashi holds that when you take on the Zeris, like we're saying with the Rambam, it's not just that you change your halakhic category, like the Maharit says, but that you take on all the laws, you create the obligations at that moment, and if you create the obligations, I might have thought that you can withdraw, you can modify them. No, it's Amir Lagava. One of the obligations you're creating is the obligation to give a korban at the end. If you've taken on an obligation to give a korban at the end, you can't modify it after you've made that undertaking. This is how Rashi would learn. Or we could say, no, Rashi does learn like the Maharit. This is an interesting chiddush that I'm not sure of, but it's possible. We could say that Rashi holds like the Maharit too, that when a nozir declares himself a nozir, he's not creating the taking on the obligation of giving a korban or anything like that at all. He is changing his status. But maybe he's changing his status in a certain kind of a way. Maybe Rashi holds that when a person becomes a nozir, it's almost as if he's giving himself to the Beis HaMikdash. He's making himself a korban. Then when he brings a korban at the end, it's kind of an exchange, like Avraham did with Yitzchak. Maybe a nozir is Amir Lagavra. A nozir is not just I'm taking on laws. A nozir is for 30 days I'm giving myself to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm dedicating myself to Hashem. It's like a korban. And that's what we mean by Amir Lagavra. So that there is then to give us a new insight into the meaning of Nazirus. Nazirus is the closest we can come to human sacrifice. If you feel that you want to give yourself as a sacrifice, not only do you want to give your animals as a sacrifice, you want to give yourself as a sacrifice, you know what? You can. You can sacrifice yourself for 30 days as a nozir, and then, and isn't that what Shimshon's mother did? What did she do? Dedicated him to Hashem. Brought him all, gave him back to Hashem. So I want to suggest that the concept of Nazirus, according to Rashi at least, is a concept of no different to giving a korban. And that's why it's Amir Lagavra. When you hand yourself over as a Nazir, you're handing yourself over to Gavra, to Hashem. Once you've handed yourself over, you can't start playing with conditions. It's already done. It's a complete action. And that's the end of it. What we do see from here is that words are strange. Words sometimes are communications. And if they're communications, they can be interpreted, they can be modified, they can be withdrawn. But sometimes words have immediate, irreversible impact. That's what we have to learn from this. That there are occasions where words have immediate, irreversible impact. What would be some such examples? Apart from the examples we've had, Nidorin, Nazirus, where? Kiddushin, yes. Where there's a required phrase, a person, but there's a kinyan as well. So it's not just the words alone wouldn't have meaning. So if a person just made said the words, there would be no meaning to them. So there's a kinyan. So that wouldn't count. A Lashon Hara would be a good one. Lashon Hara, the moment the word is out, it's gone. It's done. The damage is finished. Nothing you can do. You try and repair some of the damage, but it's done. The power of the word, Lashon Hara, is a very good example. It's an atom bomb. Sometimes the word is an atom bomb. You've dropped the atom bomb, you can't put the pieces together again and try and get back to where you were before. You'll never be back to where you were before. Other areas? Sheker. Tell a lie, you lose trust. It's almost impossible to regain the trust. It's interesting that in America, trust, and particularly when it comes to public officials, is an incredibly sacred value. The reason that Bill Clinton got into trouble was not because he committed adultery. What was it? He lied. The reason Nixon got into trouble is not because he recorded the people in the Oval Office. Had he said, yes, I did, this is why I did, and it was my prerogative as president to do that. And I didn't plan to do anything with them, except keep them for record in the event of A, B, C, and D. That's what I did. They would have said, okay. Or they would have said, well, please don't do it again. You're going into trouble because he lied. There's an understanding there that once a public official lies, trust is lost forever. It's almost impossible to get back to where you are. So Loshon Hora, Sheker, cases of abuse. You abuse a person verbally. These are cases where the damage is done and can never come out. We learn a piece of Gemara like this. Yes, there's all the fascinating halakhic intrigue, and it's incredible in understanding what this works and how this works. But really what we're looking at is how the mouth works. The power of the mouth. And the fact that there are times where the words of the mouth are irretrievable or irreversible, and their impact is immediate and can be devastating.